Blog Talk Radio.
Despite your circumstances and your situation, God is blessing you
God has blessed you, and he will continue to bless you. Well, we thank God for each and every one of you all for another wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio with Reconciliation Ministries. I am your host, Willie Davan Jr. I bring you greetings from the nation's capital of Washington, D.C. We thank God for each and every one of you all on this wonderful Wednesday night. We understand without further ado that prayer is one of our most powerful tools that God has given us. So without further ado, let us go ahead to the throne of grace. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for how you blessed us. We are so grateful and so appreciative that you have allowed us just to be on another wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radios. I thank you, Lord God, how you've made a way out of no way, how you always look out for us, and even throughout the busyness of today, even throughout the busyness of the workload, Lord God, you still have made a way. You still have blessed us. And for that, Lord God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for how you continue to watch over us and how you continue to bless us. Now we pray, Lord God, that your word tonight will be a blessing to your people, that it will manifest and give, will challenge your people, but that it will also bring comfort and courage to your people. Lord God, I understand that I'm nothing more than the conduit. You are the source of everything that we stand in need of. And for that, Lord God, we just say thank you. So again, we appreciate you. We thank God for you. I mean, we praise God for allowing us to be here yet again. Lord God, in everything we say and do, we always give you honor. We give you praise in the name of your Son, who is our Savior. His name is Jesus the Christ. We say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are so, again, grateful and thankful that you have decided to join us, Reconciliation Ministries. We thank God for the partnership of the Omega Ministry Group, its leaders, good Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and Minister Tammy Storr. We thank God for them. We thank God for their leadership, and we praise God for the partnership. We know that tonight, and as every Wednesday night, it's about participatory or about participation. We want to always thank God for you all, and we want you all to be able to, throughout the broadcast, if you have a question or if you have a comment, you can press 1. And we can open up your mic. Don't worry. Right now, all mics are muted, so you don't have to be concerned about what noise is going on in the background. We thank God for you just listening. But you can press 1 on your phone, and we will unmute your mic. And then once I unmute your mic, I'll let you know. For those who are listening to the rebroadcast, you can get in contact with me. If you have a question, comment, you can reach me at jvan@yahoo.com. jvan91@yahoo.com. That's my email account. You can reach me on that account, and I would definitely respond. Again, that's J-A-Y, V as in victory, A-N-N, 91@yahoo.com, and I would definitely respond to your email. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about today, and I'm excited about tonight's lesson. That's why I'm trying to pace myself and slow down. Today was a bright, sunny day, and even if it was raining, cloudy and rainy, it would still be a great and wonderful day. Tonight we want to look at a scripture that is very familiar to most of you all, if not all. I'm pretty sure if you spent any length of time in church, then you have listened or heard this scripture. No, Reverend, Pastor Jimmy just shot me a text. I'm good, man. Thank you. Tonight's message, or our launching pad, will be from Job chapter 1, verse 8. Again, Job chapter 1, verse 8. That's our launching place for tonight. If you would do me a favor and go there again, as they teach us in seminary, repeat it at least 3 or 4 times so that at least if the people fall asleep on you, at least they know where you came from. So at least 2 more times. Job chapter 1, verse 8, one verse. I'll be reading the NIV, and then I'll be reading the Contemporary English Version, something I like to, you know, I like to read different translations. But the word of the Lord reads, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil.'" Now, the Contemporary English Version or translation of this same scripture, Job chapter 1, verse 8, says, "Then the Lord asked, 'What do you think of my servant Job? No one on earth is like him, truly good person, a good person, who respects me and refuses to do evil.'" Thus ends the reading of our scripture. We'll be going throughout the scriptures tonight. But as a thought, as a subject, something to focus our consideration is, are you worthy to be considered? Are you worthy to be considered? I have had many situations in my life where people have recommended me and considered me for a position, for a either in a job, or considered me to do a task. They've in my former church, and even now, people call me and said, "Man, I was thinking about you, and I was wondering, would you consider coming to preach, or would you consider coming to minister or officiate this service?" Excuse me. And I thought about that. I thought about the fact, what would make me worthy to be considered to do, to oversee their service? And there's been situations in my past where people, again, have asked me to eulogize a family member, to officiate, and they said, "You know, I thought about you because I considered you because you knew so and so. I considered you because I knew you could get the job done. I considered you because I had nobody else." And I was like, okay. And then they was like, I'm just joking. No, I considered you because I knew that you would do what was asked of you, nothing more or nothing less. And so I ask you tonight, has anyone ever considered you for a position? Has anyone ever considered you to do a job or a task? And why did they consider you? What was the purpose, or what was the meaning? And I thought about that, and I thought about, as I was reading this scripture, God is having a conversation with Satan, and he is talking to Satan and asking him, as a summary, a little background summary, let me give you the J. Van version, the Willie J. Van version. What you up to, man? What you doing? What you doing with yourself, Satan? And Satan says, I'm going about the earth to and fro, seeing who I can devour, who can I get to do wrong, who can I influence? Because let me just give you this, and this is a little extra. This is the bonus. Satan can never make you do anything that you really don't want to do. Now, yes, he can tempt you. He can put it in front of you, but he can never force you to do anything you don't want to do. The opportunity is available, but you have the power through the Holy Spirit to say no or to not get involved. So that's a little extra. That's a frequent new download. Thank you, God, for that. But I think people need to realize that, because so many people have given so much power to Satan and don't realize the power that really dwells within them through the Holy Spirit. Oh, that made me feel good. I realize that whatever I need to get over, I already have, because the Holy Spirit has already dwelled within me and already given it to me. So let me go back to the story. Satan, God and Satan are having this conversation, and God asked him, and Satan said, I'm going about seeing who I can encourage, who can I tempt, who can I get to do wrong. And then God says in this eighth verse, have you ever considered my man, my boy, my homie, my dude, Job? Have you ever considered him? I mean, you know, he's a good guy. He's a guy who hasn't involved himself in sin. He's blameless. And he's the type of guy that hasn't dwelled in sinful activities. Have you ever thought about Job? And then Satan goes on and said, man, I would do that. I would go at him, but you have a hedge around him. You have some protection around him. Because he's one of your favorites, because he's one of the ones that dwells and work with you and do right, then I can't get to him. I can't tempt him. And God then makes a wager, sort of, or says, you know what, you need to consider him, and I'll let you do whatever you want to, but you just can't touch his soul. That belongs to me. And seeing that again ought to give us encouragement to know that because of the fact that we've already given God our heart and our mind and our soul, that no matter what goes on, God already has our soul. Thank you, God, I hear you. So the first thing I want to raise to your attention tonight is that we are to praise God in spite of your predicament. you know, I always say that our predicament should not persuade our praise. It shouldn't provoke. It shouldn't hinder our praise. See, in this first chapter, verses 20 through 22, it reads, at this, Job got up and tore his robe. This is, again, Job chapter 1, verses 20, 21, and 22. It says, at this, Job got up and tore his robe, shaved his head. He then fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. My God. See, we ought to take this first lesson, this first nugget that Job is saying, that we ought to praise God in spite of our predicament. See, in verses 10 and 11 and 12, Job's character was attacked. You know, what people thought about him. In verses 13 through 19, Job loses his property and his children. And then here in verses 20 through 22, Job realizes that all that he is and all that he has belong to the Lord. And see, that ought to give us hope, because we ought to understand that no matter what goes on, we have to continue to praise God. No matter what, our predicament, no matter what's going on with us, we ought to always be in a posture that we praise God. Now, I know it doesn't feel right, and you can only imagine that Job didn't feel good. If people start, you know, talking about him, and people start, then he loses all of his property. He loses all the cattle and the houses. Then his children are murdered, or they die, rather. But Job, because of his position, but most of all, because of his relationship with God. And see, and that's why I always say it's not about religion, but it's about a relationship with God. Religion is just nothing more than just the practice of something. I religiously get up every morning and go wash my face. That's something I do. I do that every morning. But my relationship causes me, before I wash my face, when I wake up, to say, thank you, God, for another day. My religion says, okay, it's time to go to the bathroom. But my relationship says, before I hit this ground, I got to thank God for being able to move my limbs. I got to thank God for the blood running warm in my body. I have to praise God because he has done so much for me, and he's allowed me to see another day. As the old saints used to say, my grandfather, God rest his soul, Eddie Bryant, he used to get up, and when he used to pray, he said, I thank you, God, for my bed last night wasn't my cooling bed. And I used to say, what's that? He said, my cooling board. And it wasn't until I started hanging up at the funeral home with my father and my uncle that I realized that the cooling board is the board that people who are deceased lay upon. But when you realize that God could have called you home in the middle of your sleep, but he has allowed you to see yet another day. You ought to praise him. So we ought to praise God in spite of our predicament. The second thing I think we ought to do is persevere in spite of our pain. For those who are taking notes, my second point, persevere pain. Let's read chapter 2, Job chapter 2. We're going to read a little bit more on this. It says, starting at verse 1, on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. Yeah, this is the NIV translation, chapter 2, verse, Job chapter 2, verse 1. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, this is a conversation. Where you come from? And this is where Satan goes through. I want to jump down to 13. That's right. 11. When Job, three friends, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shilonite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, heard, God bless you, man, heard about the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. When they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights, no one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. So that talks about how these three men who were supposed to be friends of Job, how they came and how they was like, man, you going through so much. I can't even recognize you. When we get to the place that we persevere in spite of our pain, we realize that though we go through pain, it proves that we are still alive. It proves that God is still dealing with us, that God is still working in us. In the third chapter of Job, Job starts to get upset and starts to realize that, you know what, I kind of wish I was never born. And let me be honest. There have been times in my life that I've gone through some pain, even at the beginning of this year or the end of last year, beginning of this year, when COVID-19 attacked my body. And I was like, man, for a brief second, and I've shared this story, I thought I was going to die. And I was like, surely I can't handle this pain. And then the Holy Spirit within me, because it was nothing but the Holy Spirit, said, what are you talking about? You have the power of life in your mouth. You need to speak. The Bible says that all sickness is not unto death. You need to, it says, call out for the elders to lay hands on those who are sick and anoint their bodies. So because I couldn't bring nobody around me, I anointed my own self. I prayed and laid hands on my chest and on my head, and I said, I am going to live. This is not going to take me out. We need to get to the place, my brothers and my sisters, where we realize that we have so much power and authority stored in us through the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, however you want to address them, either one. But you need to realize that there is power given by him to heal your body, to give you perseverance through your pain. Now, God never promised us that we would never have pain. God always said he promised us that he would walk with us and that he would never forsake us. So get that out of your head. That's the biggest lie in the church, that we'll never have any pain or suffering or sorrow, especially when you look at the life of Jesus himself. Did he not suffer? Did he not go through pain? Did he not go through all of the mortal things that we've gone through? I mean, when it was time for him to talk to God, he pulled away because so many people was trying to pull on him. Didn't he need a vacation? When you think about the fact that it was a time where he was being whipped, unpunished, or rather even before then, that people, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, were looking for him and he had to hide out, being chased, being talked about. There is no suffering that we've gone through that Jesus Christ has not gone through. Here he is up on the cross, not for his sins, but the sins of the world. But yet, persevere. There's a, and we just read in Job 3 and 4, Job's three friends, though they come to comfort him, they end up criticizing him, and they have a three-point argument. Their three-point argument is that God blesses the righteous and curses the wicked. God has afflicted Job, and therefore he must be wicked. Now, the problem with that is that that is logical thinking and not spiritual thinking. See, we have to get to the place where we realize that suffering is not always a sign of disobedience. Again, let me say this. Suffering, pain, is not always a sign of disobedience. As Job pleaded his case, we discovered that despite what he's going through physically, spiritually, he is still on page. Job answers his critics. And Zephophar rebukes Job by affirming that God should show him true wisdom and affirming him that he would turn to God and that he would be blessed. Job responded to his critics for telling him anything, by not telling him anything new, not helping him, and not representing God well. Because he spoke of evil. He spoke and said that, surely, man, you're going to die. Because you've done, why don't you just curse God and die? And I say to you, what kind of friend is that? What kind of friendly advice is that? That you would tell your friend, somebody that you care about, somebody that you see that's going through, just to curse God and die. That doesn't make any sense. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a pause right here. I want you to think about that. When you see people going through, what are you saying to them? Are you encouraging them? Or are you telling them, you know what, why don't you just go ahead and die, man? Why don't you just roll on over and give up? Think about what have people said to you when you was going through, when things was rough in your life. And what did you want to hear? Did you want to hear a word of encouragement? Or did you want somebody to say, man, give up and just die? I want to give you a word of encouragement. And this song ought to give you a word of encouragement. Why don't you go get yourself something to drink, and we'll be right back with you. Right, it'll be all over in the morning. Well, we've already dealt with two different points. Our first is praise in spite of your predicament. Praise God in spite of your predicament. Persevere in spite of your pain. And the last point I have for you tonight is prosper because of your purpose. Continuous dialogue with family and friends and in positions with God. But in chapter 42 is where Job finally receives his breakthrough. So just imagine from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 41, there's been issues and things going on. Job finally understands his purpose. God literally puts him, as we would say, on Front Street and comes to him through a series of violent storms before the light clicks on, before Job's light clicks on. In chapter 38, God asks, "Where were you?" In chapter 39, God says, "What do you know about what I created?" In chapter 40, he says, "Who are you to question me?" In chapter 41, he says, "Do you really think you're as mighty as I am?" God can and will give you a reality check to remind you of who you are, but more importantly, who he is. Just as most fathers will check their sons and most mothers will check their daughters, it is for not the parent to boast about what's going on or who they are, but for the child to realize who they are. Through this discourse, Job realized what's really going on. Job answers God in chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. This is the Message translation. "I am convinced you can do anything and everything. Nothing and no one can upset your plans. You have asked, who is this muddy? Who is muttering the waters? Ignorantly confusing the issue. Second guessing my purpose. I admit it. I was the one. I babbled on about things far beyond me. Made small talk about wonders way over my head. You told me, listen, and let me do the talking. Let me ask the questions. You give the answers. I admit it. I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it all firsthand. From my own eyes and ears, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'll never do it again. I promise. I'll never again live on crushes of hurt or heresy, crumbs of rumors." Again, that was Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Job realizes that his purpose was to bring glory to God and honor to God by simply trusting in him. And when Job realized his purpose, God was then able to bless him. In fact, God gave him double for his trouble. Can I tell you that when you know your purpose, God can cause you or call you to prosper? In my humble talk tonight, I just want you to realize that God wants to consider you. God wants you to realize that, yes, you are worthy to be considered, that you're worthy to be considered because of the fact that you praise him in spite of your circumstances and your predicaments. You are worthy to be considered because you persevere in spite of your pain. You are worthy to be considered because you have prospered because of your purpose. And all of our purpose is to praise and give God the honor. All of our purpose is the purpose of reconciliation. Spread the gospel. It's not about having doctor or reverend or any other title in front of your name, but it's about realizing that God has purpose for your life, and he's calling you to fulfill that purpose. My question to you, are you willing to answer the call? Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, again for another wonderful night of Bible study and revelation of your word. We pray, Lord God, that we too have learned the lesson that Job has learned, that despite it all, our pain, our predicament, nothing can stop our purpose if we just give it all to you. And we understand that issues and trials and tribulations is not always a sign of disobedience, but it's a sign to encourage us and to encourage others to say and show the world that we can do it all with the help of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for your message. We thank you for your messenger, Job. Thank you for your son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In everything we say and do, we always give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we have, as always, have a little bit of time that we want to share. If you have a question or a comment, you can press one on your phone, and I will unmute your mic. As always, on Monday nights, you can call right back into this phone line, this same phone number, and hear a mighty word from God from Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr and Tammy Storr from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, you can hear Minister Leah Killings. It's yours truly every Wednesday night from 8 to 9. And then from 9 to 10, we have your steward, Elder Jason Felix, mighty man out of the Detroit area. Thursday nights, we have Bishop George Flint. And then on Sunday nights, we have Minister Amos Joseph Collins starting at 6 o'clock. So if there's any questions or comments, please press 1, and I will unmute your mic. We have about 5 to 6 minutes. We don't want to interfere with Elder Felix's time, but I just want to allow anyone to have any comments. Amen. And if there is no comments, that's all well and fine. But we just thank God for each and every one of you all for joining us here. Again, we ask that you would hold on to the line. Elder Jason Felix, a mighty man out of the Detroit area, brother who I've come to love, and can't wait to get back and hang out with him and spend a little time with him. So what we're going to do, we're going to play this song as an outro. Of course, I don't own any of the rights to these songs, but we just want you to know that God wants to consider you worthy to do his will and to brag about what you can do through the power that he's poured into us through the Holy Spirit. As always, peace and love. Willie J. Van Jr. We see you next Wednesday.
For so long I was silent. For so long I did not have a song to pray. Pressure filled my days and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me, awaking the passion so quiet in me, in me. So still in me. Lay here and give up, no. I choose to worship right now. My mind is made up. Is that your voice calling me into that secret place with thee? My heart is longing for this moment with thee.
I choose to worship.
Do I have anybody in here tonight that chooses to worship? I know sometimes it gets bad. I just can't lay here and give up. I choose to worship. In the air and just say it with me. Come on. I choose to worship you, Lord. I choose to worship right here in the midst of everything that I'm going through, God. Tears running down my face. Don't know where to go. Don't know, have nobody to talk to. But I've made up my mind. I'm going to worship you in spirit and in truth. I bless your name. I glorify you right now. I'm desperate for your presence, God. I'm coming after you. I'm a living witness. He'll heal you. Yes, he will.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need everybody in here to help me do it right now. Come on. He's healing me.
He's healing me. I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need you to lift yourself up out of that mess that you're in right now. Come on. Some of you have been down so long. Come on, make up your mind right now. I can't lay here and die. I gotta seek after him. I hear his voice calling me right now.
He's healing
me. I'm coming to you broken tonight. I'm coming to you wounded tonight. I'm coming to you right now. I need your presence in my life. I'm going to worship. Yes, I am. He's healing me.
Heal me. I'm going to worship.
Oh, he's healing.
I'm gonna worship.
I'm gonna worship you.
I'm gonna worship.
Come on, I need some worshipers in here tonight. Come on. Come on, that's got a made up mind. Come on, to bless the Lord at all times. In the midst of every test, every trial, I've made up my mind that I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm gonna worship.
I'm gonna
my heart is long for moment with thee.